I wanted to talk about the idea of buying life insurance policies, even though it's not maybe not so nogea to guys your age, but it is something that that comes up as life goes on, and this this kind of issue will be thought about. So why? What would the problem be? Why is it even a discussion in the post? What would be the issue with buying a life insurance policy? For those not familiar, a life insurance policy essentially says, if I die, my family will get X amount of dollars, a lot of money, and I just pay, let's say, monthly premiums or annual premiums that are much, much less money. And basically, you're betting on, well, you're one way or the other. One way or the other. You win either way, I guess. I don't know. You lose either way. I don't know. So the question is there any reason to be machmir, any reason not to? So there is a sefer called Kuntras Sharei Ish, about the Chazon Ish, where he writes on page Nun Aleph, Tsiper li echad she Rabbeinu Amar, shelo lasus bituach chayim, that he said, he heard a maisa that the Chazon Ish said, not to buy life insurance, ki lefa'amim shenigzar al adam lamos chas v'shalom, because sometimes there's a gzerim in Hashemayim that a person is supposed to die, ubas hanegel lefnei kisei, and then the Sanegar up in Shemayim is going to say, no, don't kill him. How's the Almana going to live? Granted, this guy deserves to die, but what are you going to do about the Almana? What are you going to do about the poor Yisomim? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu will just say, no problem. The guy has a life insurance policy, so it's all taken care of. And that might be the only thing keeping you alive. So they said that that's why the Chazon Ish said not to buy a life insurance policy. So I guess that's one potential problem. The other potential problem would be it expresses a lack of bitachon that you're going to live. President should have bitachon that he's going to live a long and fruitful life. Why should you assume that you're going to die? And a third potential problem, the Shalos Tshuvos Lechem Shleima, discusses whether that maybe lo liktam inish paranusa l'nafshe. A person shouldn't discuss piranhas happening to himself, and just the mere discussion of bad things happening to you may cause those piranhas to hit you. So I found three tshuvos in Achronim that discuss life insurance policies, three different Achronim that discuss it, and they're all mekel. They all encourage buying life insurance, but for different reasons. Rav Moshe Negris Moshe or Chaim Chalef Beisim Kuf Yud Aleph writes that it's like any other business venture or investment, which is totally permissible to do. You're allowed to make investments. You're allowed to make buy stocks and do all sorts of investments in businesses, even though they might win, they might lose, they might make money, might lose money. He says you're not allowed to rely on miracles. That's for sure. The Gemara says you can't even daven for Nisan. Even a tzaddikest like Leah Imenu, according to one opinion in the Gemara, wasn't allowed to daven for a miracle, for the gender of her child to change. According to the Shita, that it was Bitoch Mem Yom, right, that she wasn't allowed or that it wasn't Bitoch Mem Yom, she wasn't allowed to daven that the gender of her child should change. We're not allowed to rely on miracles, we're not even allowed to daven for miracles. And even though we believe that all the Parnassah comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we believe that Hashem gives us such parnasa when we do a little bit of ishtadlus, when we put in our effort. And this is one form of ishtadlus. Rav Moshe writes that even Rabbi Nurai at the end of Maseches Kiddushin, who says that maniach ani kolumna shabaolam v'lomadi es b'ni al Torah, that I won't teach my son any profession, I only teach him Torah, that's only when the kid is very young, because Mestama, when he gets older, he'll find something to do to make a living. He'll figure something out when he gets older. And Rav Moshe says, yeah, that's mutter, because Torah requires, Rav Nurai understood that if you're going to teach your kid Torah, the way Rav Moshe understands it, you have to teach him only Torah, otherwise he's not really going to get Torah. Now, the only way to really, for a young person to really get into Torah, it has to be Torah only. So he thought it's impossible to teach his kid other things while teaching his child Torah. But he would never say that when the child gets older, the child shouldn't work. When he gets older, of course he has to work for a living. But he thought that the nature of the din that a parent has to teach a child Torah is that he shouldn't teach him anything else. The Rambam paskins, you work for a living, even though the Rambam never quotes a requirement to teach a kid a profession. The fact that the Rambam doesn't quote such a requirement to teach a kid a profession is an indication that the Rambam held this way, that they let him do a shtadlus when he gets older, but as a child, the nature of the din of teaching him Torah is to teach him purely Torah. It's not entirely true that the Rambam doesn't mention the requirement to teach a kid a profession. He does in Hilchas Shabbos, amongst Cheshbono Shel Mitzvah, that you're allowed to be Mechashbim Shabbos, the Rambam mentions teaching a kid a profession. So Ramos says maybe that's something about a kid who can't learn, that then there's a din to teach a kid a profession. But other than that, you would just wait till he gets an adult and hope he could become a garbage man or something that doesn't require significant education. I'm assuming sanitation worker doesn't require significant education. I apologize to any sanitation workers if it does require significant education. I don't know. Similarly, Rav Moshe writes, there's no issur in looking for an easy and profitable profession, even though we know that in anius mina umnus vena ashirus mina umnus, and insurance helps you not to have to work as hard during your lifetime, because people are very worried about what's going to be with their families after they die. So if you have life insurance, you don't have to work as hard during your lifetime, so you'll have an umnus kala umnakia, and it'll be much easier for you while you're alive, knowing that you have that safety net. The Gemara in Shabbos Daf Nun Gimel says that Abaye criticized somebody who had to rely on a miracle to have his baby nursed, and the man actually grew breasts and was able to feed the child, that wasn't a maila. That's bad that you have to rely on a miracle. It's better to be able to afford a meinekes. You don't want to rely on nisim. And the same for fire insurance, homeowners insurance. Rav Moshe says insurance is normal business like anything else. That's Rav Moshe's take on the whole thing. In the Deber Tzina Rav in Shuvas Be'er Moshe, Chelek in Simon Kuf Yud Ches, I don't know what Chelek it's in, writes, I just have a photocopy of it here, I don't know what Chelek I got it from, writes that through the vehicle of Nedunya, Chazal pretty much uprooted all of Dine Yerusha. Why? Because Chazal wanted you to be able to provide for all of your kids, even your daughters, after you're gone. So it created this whole concept called Nedunya, which basically does away with Yerusha. Apparently, we don't rely on Bitachon alone to take care of our kids when we're gone. That for the daughters, it wasn't okay to just say, Bitachon for my daughters. Let my children, my sons get Yerusha for the daughters. No, Chazal set up something called Nedunya to make sure that the daughters are taken care of. The Gemara in Ksuvah says that you're not supposed to give more than 20%. I'm Vazri Zali Vazri Ziosu Michomesh to Tzedakah. Why? Because we're worried Shema Yeyani Vitzdarich Lebrios. What happened to Bitachon? Why are you worried Shema Yeyani? Where's the Bitachon? So says the Deber Tziner, obviously you see that no, we don't carry Bitachon that far. You're supposed to put in a normal, treat life normally, and then Bitachon takes you the rest of the way. You still need Bitachon after that. But you see, the Chazal were even willing to tell you to stop doing a mitzvah d'oraisa. Don't do any more tzedakah, mitzvah d'oraisa. Because they were afraid that you're going to end up being poor. So a person has to make wise financial decisions. There's also, the Deber Tzina writes, a responsibility to leave money for your kids. The Gemara Ksubas Tav Samach Zayin Beis says that Mar Ukva was able to give more than a chomesh on his deathbed because he was dying, so you didn't have to worry that Shema Ye'ani V'Yitzarech L'Brios. But the Shidim Kbetz over there quotes from Rabbeinu Yonah that he still had to leave over Yerusha for his kids. And in Ar Girsa, he left over half for his kids because he felt that it was his responsibility to make sure his kids have something after he's gone. And life insurance is a very good way to do that. The fact that the Lechem Shlema only discusses Kedimas Parnus L'Nafshe, says the Deber Tziner, is an indication that, which by the way, he says is not a problem anyway, because when you're looking after your kids, and there's no problem of L'Lichtaminish Parnusa when you're looking after your kids. And Deber Tziner says the riot of this is that my uncle was a very big tzaddik and he had life insurance. So that was the riot that it's mutter. I don't know who his uncle was, but apparently it was a big tzaddik who had life insurance. But he says that the fact that the Lechem Shlema only quotes that issue shows that it's not an issue of chisar and bitachon, because then he should have quoted the issue of chisar and bitachon. Okay. The third shuv I found on the topic is Shuvas van Haggas for Sturmbach, Chelik Dalad Sim Shin Chav Hei, where he doesn't even, at first he says, I don't understand the question. Everybody dies eventually. What do you mean? Bitachon? Bitachon that you're not going to die? That's stupid. In the history of the world, there have been very few people that haven't eventually died. That's not called bitachon, that's just being silly. So he says, I don't understand, it's a regular investment, it doesn't make any sense that you shouldn't have a life insurance policy. Now the truth is, it's not such a simple kasha, because it's not such a simple statement, because for instance, my life insurance policy is a 20-year thing. So if I live to if I'm blessed to live to the age of 54, then unless I renew, then I'm not going to get, my family doesn't get the money. It's only if they're lucky enough, it's only if I were to die, you know, at some time before then, God forbid, then they would get the money. So maybe a person should have bitachon that he's going to make it to save a tova, that he'll make it to a proper old age. Okay, maybe that's worthy of some discussion. But again, the other post can say anyway, it's not an issue of bitachon, it's a normal investment. Rav Sumach writes that you're mechuyev bekach to support your family. That's Lashon Rav Sturmbach. It's very kedai for a few bucks each month to make sure that your children and wife and children are taken care of, if God forbid they should ever need to be taken care of. He also discusses discusses the issue of Hashem only killing a person if the entire family deserves to suffer the consequences. And he says that the Brisker Rav says that this is emes in Yud Gam Mitzvah Rachim. We say HaKadosh Baruch Hu is emes. What do you mean he's emes? That he doesn't lie? Of course that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu is emes. No, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't give you a punishment you don't deserve. Of course he doesn't give you a punishment you don't deserve. He says no, the Brisker Rav said emes is that if someone else is affected by Reuven dying, his wife and his kids and everyone's going to be affected, HaKadosh Baruch Hu won't allow Reuven to die unless everyone else deserves to be affected. So he says maybe that's one of the cheshbon. It's the same cheshbon the Chazanish we started with has, that maybe when you get the life insurance, it's going to make them less affected by the Karov's death, and therefore it's going to open up a door up in Shemayim for the person to be able to die. But he says that should not be our cheshbon. That's not a human cheshbon. Let HaKadosh Baruch Hu make such cheshbonos, especially when the flip side is that the wife and kids are going to need to collect charity in order to survive. You don't make cheshbonos, maybe this is what's keeping me alive, when the other possibility is that a person's going to die and their wife and kids aren't going to be cared for. So that cheshbon is a very krum cheshbon, he says. He concludes that if you live day to day in general and you have bitachon for your future, you shouldn't work more and be mevatel Torah just so that you could afford life insurance. But if you have a regular job where you have a few extra bucks to put away, he says that that money should be spent on life insurance. So all the poskim seem to be heavily in favor of life insurance. What I found interesting is that Moshe has a tshuva in Yerushalmi Moshe Chaim Chedal Sim Memches, where he suggests what kind of life insurance a person should get. There's term and whole life policies. And so when asked Moshe, what kind of life insurance should you get? So he says, first of all, I'm a rabbi. I'm not a life insurance agent, you know. But I'll give you a little bit of etza based on the way I see it. And he says, Gemara Nida Daf Lamed Aleph says that a man's support is based on mazel, and a woman's is based on tefillah. So as long as the husband is alive, his mazel should support his wife. Once he's dead, you really need the money for the wife. So it's better to invest in insurance that doesn't pay out during a person's lifetime. You would want the kind of insurance that only pays out after his death, because his own, during his lifetime, he's taken care of by his mazel. Sturmach happens to disagree with that. He says if it pays out during your lifetime, then it's definitely even more like an investment, and definitely not an issue of chisar and bitachon, because then it's really an investment that would pay out as long as you live. But anyway, that's just semantics in terms of what type of policy to get. Either way, it's a mitzvah gedola for every person to have a life insurance policy. You think about the number of times that you hear of tzedakas being collected for people. Nebuch, a guy died, ten yesomim, how are we going to support them? A life insurance policy would have solved many, many of these cases, and would not have had to put the burden on the tzibur to support Nebuch, the Almanos, and the Yisam. All right.